You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The hashtag MeToo movement put a very bright and harsh spotlight on how sexual harassment and violence has permeated American culture. Many believe changing that culture means changing the way schools teach about sexuality and consent. State Senator Curtis Hertel is in that camp. The Lansing area Democrats' new bill would require Michigan schools to include training in consent as part of sex education classes. He says curricula have not caught up to the realities that are facing young adults.
1/4 of college women and 1 out of every 20 college men will be a survivor of sexual assault while they're on our college campuses.
4 other states have adopted similar laws, and Governor Whitmer supports Hertel's bill. Let's talk more about sex education in this era of Me Too. Here now is Wendy Sellers. She's a sexual health education consultant and the author of Puberty, The Wonder Years. And she's with us via Skype. Wendy, welcome to Stateside.
Hi, Cindy. Thank you for having me today. It's an important topic, so I'm pleased to talk with you about it.
Terrific. And also, we want to welcome Emma Davis Rodak, who is a senior in the Ann Arbor Public School System, and she sits on the district Sexual Health Education Advisory Board. Emma, great to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
All right. Well, let's start, Wendy, with asking you, as you think about the Me Too movement and where we've come since that became top of mind to much of America, has it affected what schools are doing when it comes to sex ed?
Yes, it has. I think it has raised a lot of awareness, and it has also prompted a lot of conversations. That has resulted in schools being more aware of the fact that they need to update their curriculum to help young people be better equipped to avoid sexual violence in all its forms. And some schools have started working on that, but many have a long way to go.
And are you seeing more districts trying to incorporate lessons about consent into their sexual health curriculum?
Yes, schools are talking about that. Unfortunately, I don't know of a lot of schools who have actually gotten to the point of doing adequate updates to their curriculum to include those topics in a very sequential manner, starting with the younger grades and continuing through high school.
All right. Well, as we talk, we're going to offer up some ideas. First, now I want to turn, though, to Emma Davis Rodak, a senior in the Ann Arbor Public School System, and you're part of the effort to make changes in the sex ed curriculum in Ann Arbor. So can you give us some examples of changes you're pushing for?
So this girl, Sabina Fall, who was in my position last year, she was pushing to make like a curriculum that makes it safe for teachers to talk about consent in areas besides just health classes. So she was talking about, like, in history classes, talking about, like, the genocides and the rapes that happened in history, and especially in American history. She was talking about in literature classes and, like, talking about consent in books, because she personally had a lot of experiences where, like, she would be in a class and they would have a scene that, like, sexual assault happened in like, a book, and they just wouldn't talk about it because they didn't know how. So that was one of the really cool things I saw. And then we also have been working on, like, more comprehensive sex ed for disability people in, like, special ed classes and stuff, because they do have a, like, way higher rate of sexual assault because of the position they're put in. They need, like, someone to, like, sometimes help them out with things.
Sure.
It's really dangerous for them if they can't trust that person, and if that person, if they don't know where the boundaries are with that person.
Boy, that idea of taking consent and kind of teasing it out and unwinding it from the topic of sex. Wendy, how important is that?
It is vital. And I think Emma raises some great points about it needing to be taught across our school day and across our culture. This is a cultural, societal norm that we allow people to verbally and physically assault. And it really is not about sex. It's about power. It's about disrespect. It's about the kinds of relationships that we want to build. And so equipping people to talk about it not as part of sex ed is really important, especially since in Michigan, our state laws allow parents to opt their kids out of sex ed lessons for any reason. So if we only teach it in sex ed, many children will not get those lessons.
You know, Emma, you're almost at the end of your time in the Ann Arbor Public School System. This, you know, you're heading off to college in the fall. And as you think about the kind of information you got through your years in school, what was missing? What would you like to see added or changed?
So Ann Arbor Public Schools, like, I'm really lucky to go there. And my health teacher, I go to Skyline, and my health teacher, Ms. Bizu, was, like, amazing. But to me, like, I took health my sophomore year, right? Mm-hmm. And, like, I got that education that was so great, but I only got it for a week. And I got it my sophomore year. And now I'm a senior, and I'm kind of seeing that reflected in, like, it only being a one-time thing. I think that's where we're kind of, like, falling through in terms of, like, helping our students. And I think it goes back to kind of talking about consent in a broader area, because I think that, like, yes, I was taught literally consent education and I was taught literally sex education. But when it comes to things where it's not as easy, and sometimes it takes, like, maybe my teacher stepping in and being like, hey, don't make that joke, or like one of my students being comfortable enough to step in and be like, hey, that's not okay, then I feel like it falls short. And I also do think that we need more comprehensive, like, LGBTQ plus education. Mm-hmm. In our presentation that I teach in health classes, we do a presentation on it. But like I said, that's like a one-time thing, you know? So I do think that we need more comprehensive, continued LGBTQ plus education in addition to sex education.
And Wendy Sellers, I could hear you say that this is really the kind of, when we're talking about something like consent and some of just the awareness of all of this, you should be starting when? How young should these lessons start?
They should start at birth. And the reason I say that is because from birth, we need to teach our young people the proper names for their body parts, so that if they do have someone touching them inappropriately, they can report that in a way that's understandable. When we teach kids cutesy names or euphemisms for their private parts, not everybody will know what those things are if a child says someone touched my whatever. Also, when children are very young, they need to be taught that they have the right to decide whether or not they give their auntie or their uncle a hug or a kiss. If they don't want to, they shouldn't be forced to do that, because all that does is teach them that they do not have a right to their own body autonomy. We need to teach kids the importance of asking for permission before they borrow someone's toy or touch someone's body, and also the importance of listening when they ask someone to borrow a toy or to give them a hug or whatever, to listen to the answer and then respect whether it's a yes or a no, either way. So it needs to start very young.
We're talking about the way the Me Too movement is changing the way schools teach about sexuality and about consent, as we talk with sexual health education consultant Wendy Sellers, and also with Ann Arbor High School senior Emma Davis Rodak, who sits on the district's Sexual Health Education Advisory Board. Emma, what should adults know and understand about how sex and relationships are for kids in 2019 as compared to when mom and dad were growing up?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot that comes with, like, first of all, obviously, like, the internet and cell phones. That's, like, a huge thing. And then also, like, I think with these changing cultural attitudes, they're really important, and I'm really glad we have them, of, like, we're kind of starting to recognize kind of what Wendy was saying about, like, bodily autonomy, and we're kind of starting to be like, okay, yeah, like, you have a right to choose what happens, like, what you do with your body, or if any contraceptives you use, like, you have a right to that. So I think that adults really need to understand that, even though they might not have felt that when they were younger and in their sex education, which, like, I'm really sorry, first of all, because that, like, is really hard and really terrible. But I think that they need to recognize that times are shifting and they need to trust their kids a lot more. And then I think also in terms of adults that are pushing for abstinence-only education, like, especially with the internet now, people are going to get, like, sex mm-hmm. education no matter what. It's just barring the quality of it. It's really easy for someone to go out there and get, like, not quality sex education online. What they're going to be missing, they're going to find out, like, what body parts are and how sex works, but they're going to be missing consent education. They're going to be missing trans-inclusive sex ed. They're going to be missing contraceptive lessons for non-hetero couples. You know, like, those are important things that you learn, and it's really, like, it takes time to form those, and it takes, like, input from people in those communities. And I feel like that's what, like, good comprehensive sex ed needs, and that's what we're ready for as the times go on, but people need to understand that by barring students from getting sex education, those are the things they're going to be missing out on. They're going to know what sex is. They're going to know what body parts are. They're just going to be missing out on how to do it safely and how to do it inclusively.
Wendy, Ann Arbor is a pretty liberal city, but what are your thoughts about districts that are more conservative and they may only want to offer abstinence-only sex ed courses?
I think you're right. Ann Arbor is more progressive than many of the communities in Michigan, and yet all of our communities include parents and educators who care deeply about the welfare of our young people. And so I think it's important that we find the common ground and the messaging that will build trust and support for comprehensive sex ed. For example, a recent study just came out that said that young people who get comprehensive sex education, not abstinence only or sexual risk avoidance, as they're now calling it, are less likely to be victimized by sexual assault when they go to college. And so we need to find similar messages about how can we keep our young people safe and healthy and help them to develop into sexually healthy adults. And those are the messages that will build support in all the communities across our state.
How do adults connect to students in an authentic way? To talk about consent, to talk about sexual health, and do it in a way where the kids aren't going to be just in the back row rolling their eyes. Emma, I want you to start with that.
I mean, first of all, input from youth is really important. That's why I'm on the SHEAC committee, because, like, you're not going to know what's relevant to people unless you include them in it. And that goes in everything. You know, like, you shouldn't be talking about, like, a group of people or something that affects them without direct input from those people. But I think listening to your students, trying to make it as open as possible, showing that you're not embarrassed. You know, like, we always see those movie scenes of those, like, sex ed teachers that are super, like, kind of, like, awkward about it. And then obviously your students are going to be embarrassed about it. But I remember I got my sex ed from peer educators, like people who are my age and people mm-hmm. who I'm now friends with.
And now you're doing this work.
Yeah, now yeah. I am doing that. But I remember, like, at first when I got my sex ed, I was, like, 15 and I was super immature, you know. And I remember thinking, like, okay, there are these two students who are, like, literally putting, like, condoms on a plastic penis, and they're not embarrassed at all. So, like, I can sit through this and I can listen and I can be mature about it. So I think just showing that you're comfortable, being really open to questions, and also maybe leaving some time, like, after class a lot for people to come and talk to you when they're not necessarily – it's not necessarily comfortable and safe for everyone to always raise their hand and ask questions in that space, you know?
Wendy, what would you like to add to what this peer educator just had to say?
I think those are great points that Emma's raised. And in addition, I have, a couple dozen additional points. I personally love teaching sex ed. And so I think it's really important that when educators in a formal setting like a school are asked to teach sex ed, that they get adequate professional development to build their confidence and comfort. Equally important, parents want to do a good job, but most of us did not have good sex educator parents. And so many times parents don't know how to start. And so I've developed a lot of book lists for parents to draw from. And so either reading a book together or giving your child a book is a great way to start. It's important to start these conversations when kids are young, because then they're not self-conscious and feeling awkward. If a child grows up having these conversations repeatedly, then they sort of get used to the fact that this is a topic in their home. Using teachable moments like watching television together and talking about any sexual situations that come up, or any sexual violence situations or disrespect situations. Having the talks when you're not looking at each other, like when you're riding in the car, or if you're playing basketball or going for a walk in the woods, that can help to avoid having to sit there face to face and watch each other blush. And admit if you feel awkward about something. It is fine for adults to say, you know what, I'm feeling a little weird about this, but it is so important that I'm just going to work through that, because we really need to talk about this topic. That can help also. And then there are a lot of great resources for parents. There are great books out there giving them tips on how to get more comfortable talking with their children about consent or sexuality, and great books to share with their students.
Bottom line, what's at stake here? Why are these changes in the way we present sexual health education needed?
I mean, like, it's really easy to think about sex ed in a bubble. It's really easy to think about everything that way. But it's just, it's so much more than just like, this is what sex is. This is what like contraception is. There's so much more than just like, oh, this is how to use like a condom at stake. You know, it's being taught bodily autonomy and consent and a lot of LGBTQ plus education. It's being taught not ableist education. It's just like everything is at stake at this point, you know?
And that I'm sure just infuses itself into all areas of your life. Wendy, final word to you. What's at stake here?
Well, everyone has a sexual aspect to their personhood, and how a person expresses that varies, but everyone has that aspect. And if we ignore that aspect, that would be like not teaching us how to take care of our bodies or not educating our minds. And so it's really important to deal with the sexual aspect of every person. Relationship is central to sexuality. Sex always occurs within a relationship. It may be a relationship with yourself, or it may be a relationship with someone else, but it's always about relationship. And finally, if hashtag MeToo has taught us anything, it has taught us that sexual harassment and sexual assault are epidemic. And if we ignore teaching our young people about sexuality and how to engage in consent, then we're going to just allow this to continue unchecked.
Sexual health education consultant Wendy Sellers. Her book is Puberty, The Wonder Years. And Emma Davis Rodak, a senior in the Ann Arbor Public School System, and she sits on the district's Sexual Health Education Advisory Board. Thanks to both of you for being with us on Stateside.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.